and, you know, we're talking super mainstream, like 70%.
Mm. Those figures are very high. Michelle, best of luck with all of your work. It's really important. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
It's Michelle Terry from Movember there. News time, 7 o'clock.
At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
Australians gather for Anzac Day dawn services around the nation. This is ABC News. Good morning, I'm Simon Lauder. More than 24,000 people have gathered at the Australian War Memorial in Canberra for the National Anzac Day dawn service. Patrick Bell reports.
Today marks the 110th anniversary of the Gallipoli landing, Australia's first major military action as a nation. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese gave the dedication, describing the name Anzac as immortal.
Let us therefore once more dedicate ourselves to the ideals for which they died.
The Deputy Chief of Navy, Rear Admiral Matt Buckley, says it's a day to honour all Australians who have served in war.
And in the sometimes fractious peace that bridges major conflict.
There will shortly be a ceremony specifically recognising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander veterans.
The Anzac Day dawn service in Melbourne has been marred by booing and heckling from some in the crowd. Nicholas Hines is there.
Several World War II veterans are turning 100 this year, with their service honoured during this morning's commemorations. An estimated 40,000 people have filled the shrine's forecourt, with proceedings briefly marred by loud booing and heckling during the welcome to country and acknowledgements of country.
Beautiful boomerang country. But before we do that,
the service has otherwise been calm, with clear and warm conditions at the shrine. Commemorations will be followed by the Anzac Day march, with large crowds expected to line the streets as veterans and troops march through the city.
Among the thousands of veterans being honoured today is World War II bomber pilot Bill Purdy, who fought in the Battle of Normandy. The 102-year-old veteran says he often felt a sense of foreboding and uncertainty during the fighting.
You got used to the fact that, in fact, you never got friendly with anyone on the station, because the odds are that they wouldn't be there when you came back.
Rain has not deterred a large crowd from gathering at the Cenotaph in Sydney's Martin Place for the Anzac Day dawn service. The commander of the 2nd Australian Division, Major General Matt Barr, paid tribute to the new generation of soldiers, sailors and aviators serving Australia in the 21st century.
I encourage you to seek them out and take the time to speak with them. Find out what motivates an Australian to wear our uniform, how they've contributed to our nation, and what opportunities they've had to represent Australia overseas and in our communities, and what service means to them.
While the Prime Minister attended the Australian War Memorial in Canberra for the dawn service this morning, the opposition leader is in Brisbane to mark the occasion. Evelyn Manfield reports.
The two leaders are attending Anzac Day dawn services like many other Australians across the country. Anthony Albanese has made a point of returning to the capital for the national service, while Peter Dutton is attending a commemoration in his hometown of Brisbane. After a couple of quieter days over Easter, campaigning is again expected to be limited today and largely focused on Anzac Day events before it ramps up tomorrow for the final week before the May 3 election.
The Community and Public Sector Union says the Coalition's plan to shed 41,000 public service jobs in Canberra is not achievable without a major reduction in government services. Opposition leader Peter Dutton yesterday confirmed his proposed reduction through voluntary redundancies and natural attrition would come exclusively from the ACT. But he insists frontline services, defence and national security would be exempt from the cuts. Around a third of Commonwealth public servants are based in Canberra, around 65,000 people. The union's Deputy Secretary Beth Vincent Peach says the cuts would impact government services.
You can't cut one in five public sector jobs and not impact veterans, pensioners, families, people with disability, they're all going to have to wait longer for the critical services that they rely on.
The Australian Electoral Commission is reminding people that early voting centres will not be open today. This is ABC News. Turning overseas, and tens of thousands of people have already paid their respects to Pope Francis as his body lies in state in St Peter's Basilica, and security is tight with crowd numbers forecast to swell even further ahead of tomorrow's funeral. Here's Europe correspondent Catherine Diss.
At least 200,000 people are expected to come to the outdoor service, along with world leaders including Prince William, the US President Donald Trump, and the leaders of France, the UK, Germany, Ukraine and Argentina. Metal detectors and X-ray scanners have been installed at entry points into St Peter's Square and a no-fly zone enforced over Rome. Security forces including snipers, bomb squads, police dog units, the fire department and police to patrol the river have been deployed. Catherine Diss, ABC News, Rome.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has cut his state visit to South Africa short after the deaths of at least 12 people in the biggest Russian attack on Ukraine's capital this year. Michelle Rimmer reports.
The Ukrainian president has accused the US of not putting strong pressure on Russia to agree to a ceasefire after the deadly strikes on Kyiv. Ukraine's Air Force says Russia launched 145 drones and 70 missiles in the overnight attack. It's Russia's deadliest attack on the Ukrainian capital since July and came just hours after the US president said he was very close to brokering a deal to end the war. In a post online, Donald Trump said, "I'm not happy with the Russian strikes on Kyiv. Not necessary and very bad timing. Vladimir, stop." The Kremlin confirmed the strikes but insists it targeted military infrastructure.
Israelis have defied police orders to protest in Tel Aviv about the country's ongoing war in Gaza. Middle East correspondent Matthew Doran was there.
Thousands gathered in Habima Square in central Tel Aviv calling for an end to the war in Gaza, not only to ensure the remaining 59 Israeli hostages are returned by Hamas, but also because of the devastating humanitarian crisis gripping the Strip. Many held posters saying Palestinian lives matter and photos of Gazan children killed during the war, an act of defiance after Israeli police tried to tell protest organisers such imagery was illegal. The protesters accused the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of trying to continue the war simply to shore up his own political fortunes and warned the ongoing bombing of Gaza would result in hostages being brought home in coffins.
Some hospitals are introducing geriatricians to emergency departments in a bid to reduce the number of older patients in day beds. Australian Institute of Health and Welfare data shows older patients account for almost half of all public hospital day beds nationally. St Vincent's Hospital in Melbourne is one of a number of hospitals to have taken steps to reduce the number of unnecessary admissions. And Dr Richard Kane says elderly patients often recover better at home if it's safe to do so.
Being in hospital for an older person is a more risky experience than being in their own homes in many ways, contrary to what you might think. So their risk of falls increases, their risk of becoming delirious or confused increases.
Now with sport, here's Chris Mitchell.
Canterbury's unbeaten start to the NRL season has come to an abrupt end, thrashed by Brisbane at Lang Park. The Broncos scored six first-half tries and led 34-0 at the break before running out 42-18 winners in heavy rain. Selwyn Cobbo, the Broncos' stand-in fullback, says it was a grind.
Put them in the arm wrestle then. Yeah, it's pretty hard in this wet weather footy and so proud of the boys, yeah.
The Newcastle Knights take on the Warriors this evening in Christchurch in one of three Anzac Day matches. The Knights will play in a traditional green and brown jersey honouring the city's 35th Battalion. The Roosters play the Dragons and Melbourne Storm host the Rabbitohs. Melbourne has leapfrogged Richmond in the AFL ladder after a 20-point win to open the AFL's Anzac round at the MCG, and the 2024 Olympic champion.
To finance now in the Australian share market is closed today for Anzac Day, but it's been another positive session on Wall Street. The Dow Jones has risen by 1.2%. The S&P 500 is up by more than 2%. The Nasdaq has climbed by 2.7% as investor fears over a looming trade war continue to ease. Gold is up to $3,344 an ounce. Oil is 50 cents higher to $62.77 a barrel. And the Australian dollar is buying 64.1 US cents. That's the latest ABC News. You can find out how your views compare to the major parties ahead of Election Day with Vote Compass on the ABC News website.
Across Australia, you're listening to Breakfast on ABC Radio National.
Good morning. Welcome to AM. I'm Rachel Mealy, coming to you from the lands of the Turrbal and Yuggera people in Brisbane. Millions of Australians are pausing today to mark Anzac Day, 110 years on from the landing at Gallipoli. Many have already been gathering across the country in suburban parks and at the Australian War Memorial in Canberra for dawn services. Large numbers of Australians and New Zealanders are converging on Anzac Cove in Turkey for commemoration services there. Gavin Coote reports.
As dawn broke over Canberra, thousands were at the Australian War Memorial to mark one of the most solemn days on the calendar. More than 100,000 Australians have died in war since the Gallipoli landing 100 years ago today. Delivering the Anzac dedication at the War Memorial, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says their memory should inspire all Australians.
At this hour, upon the 25th of April in 1915, Anzac became one of the immortal names in history. We who are gathered here think of those who went out to the battlefields of all wars but did not return. We feel them still near us in spirit. We wish to be worthy of their great sacrifice.
The Deputy Chief of Navy, Rear Admiral Matthew Buckley, delivered the service's commemorative address, paying tribute to the many generations of Australians who made the ultimate sacrifice.
Our history tells us much about who we are as a nation. It illustrates that a culture of service is, and always has been, the beating heart of our national identity.
Meanwhile, in Sydney, a large crowd gathered in the dark for the Anzac Day dawn service at the Martin Place Cenotaph. Major General Matt Barr, the commander of the 2nd Australian Division, says a new generation is serving Australia in the armed forces.
I encourage you to seek them out and take the time to speak with them. Find out what motivates an Australian to wear our uniform, how they've contributed to our nation, and what opportunities they've had to represent Australia overseas and in our communities, and what service means to them.
And in Melbourne, tens of thousands have been at the Shrine of Remembrance. Victoria's Governor Margaret Gardner pointing out those who've served Australia in conflicts over the last century have made it possible for countless people to pursue their dreams.
On behalf of Victorians and all who have known the privilege of this peaceful, free society, I thank those who have made sacrifices and given service. They have helped shape our nation, and we must in kind honour their duty and their courage by cultivating a nation of security and peace, lest we forget.
In Brisbane, the opposition leader Peter Dutton paid his respects at a service in the city's north, while in the CBD, bagpipes drowned out the sound of falling rain as thousands gathered at Anzac Square. This woman says Anzac Day is a time to reflect on Australian values.
It starts from my trip. It starts from that respect that everybody's won. It's come from peace, looking after each other, helping for each other.
Dawn services have also been held across towns and cities in regional Australia, including Wagga Wagga in New South Wales, where the kangaroo march to gather World War I recruits set off from in 1915, eventually making its way to Sydney. Former and current military personnel and family will also march in parades across the country, and large crowds are expected at Anzac Cove in Turkey, where the Governor-General, Sam Mostyn, will be in attendance.
Gavin Coote reporting. The transition from military to civilian life can be a challenging one, and while some seek mental health support, that's not always the case. A new resource is being launched today, allowing veterans and families to access support at any time of day. Isabel Musali reports.
Brisbane man Chris Rees-Edwards believes he was born to be in the army.
My dad was a Vietnam vet, so from about the age of 12 or so, I think I got my first camouflage uniform from a disposal store and then waited out the years until I could actually join. So one of the best jobs in the world, as many people joke about in films, but when you've done it, you understand that.
What he didn't understand at the time was the impact on his mental health.
I'm one of the 46% that Defence knows leave with a permanent mental, moral or physical injury from their service. And, you know, that, for me, impacts my mental health fairly significantly.
For many years, he's visited online discussion forums to see what other veterans are going through and what tips they have. Recently, he's been testing out a new site that's delivered by mental health organisation SANE Australia.
We need to be vetted to be part of the veteran community, which is a really important thing, number one, because we're very happy to talk about and bitch about some of our issues to each other. But for the most part, we keep a very stoic face towards the mainstream. So being in gated, moderated communities so nobody can get out of hand and we can be ourselves in a safe sandbox is an absolutely brilliant solution.
The platform Shoulder to Shoulder is being launched today and was developed in consultation with veterans, their families and experts. It's free, anonymous, available at any hour and always overseen by professionals. SANE CEO Rachel Green.
Challenges around relationships, challenges around, you know, drinking and substance use and things that people might not feel comfortable necessarily disclosing to their immediate support networks. An online community can be a place where people can really unpack issues safely without fear of judgment and get support and information in real time.
She hopes it'll also help with the transition from the structured defence force.
And then suddenly people are hitting the mental health sector, which in Australia we know is very fragmented. So that's why a service like this is so important in creating the kind of environment where people can talk about the experiences they're having, ask for help, get support and a sense of camaraderie from other veterans and veteran families who've been through the same thing.
Flinders University Professor Ben Wadham is a veteran and the director of Open Door, which works to improve the wellbeing of veterans. He isn't involved in this resource, but says it's important for veterans to talk to someone who understands their experience.
I think that it will reach maybe even younger veterans more than older veterans because of the nature of the medium. And I think that it's not the whole picture, but it's one of those adjunct support systems which fits in well to create a holistic approach to dealing with veterans' mental health.
You can visit the website shouldertoshoulder.com.au.
Isabel Musali reporting, and if you're a current or former ADF member and this story has raised concerns for you or someone you know, you can contact Open Arms on 1800 011 046. You're listening to AM, where it's 17 minutes past 7. And coming up after 7.30 on Radio National Breakfast, Sally Sara speaks to the Minister for Veterans Affairs, Matt Keogh, and his shadow counterpart, Barnaby Joyce. Donald Trump has issued a rare public reprimand to Russian leader Vladimir Putin after at least 12 people were killed in the biggest Russian attack on Ukraine's capital this year. In a post on social media, Donald Trump said, "Vladimir, stop," adding that the strikes were very bad timing and that he is not happy. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has cut his state visit to South Africa short following the attack. Michelle Rimmer reports.
Rescue workers claw through rubble, searching for survivors trapped under piles of cement that was once residential buildings. Ukraine's Air Force says Russia launched 145 drones and 70 missiles in the overnight attack on Kyiv. It's Russia's deadliest attack on the capital since July, and Ukraine's Interior Minister Ihor Klimenko says the death toll is expected to climb.
We will work round the clock until we are sure that we recover all bodies and save all the people trapped under the rubble. Sniffer dogs signal that there are dead under the rubble. We can hear mobile phones ringing from under the rubble. And we received many reports from relatives who lost contacts with their loved ones.
The Russian attack came just hours after the US president said he was very close to brokering a deal to end the war. In a post online, Donald Trump said, "I'm not happy with the Russian strikes on Kyiv. Not necessary and very bad timing. Vladimir, stop." He later told reporters at the White House he thinks Russian President Vladimir Putin will listen to his demand to stop the strikes and that both Ukraine and Russia want peace.
So we have about 5,000 young people a week that are dying in that ridiculous war. And, I started out because I didn't like all the money that we were paying. And then I realized how many people were dying. And that's by far the more important element right now. I'm saying we can save thousands of people.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is returning to Kyiv after he cut his state visit to South Africa short following news of the deadly strikes. Speaking at a press conference with his South African counterpart, Mr. Zelensky stressed that Ukraine has agreed to an unconditional ceasefire and accused the US of not putting strong pressure on Russia to do the same.
We have been attacked, our territory occupied, tens of thousands of people killed, many children and adults buried alive. And the fact that Ukraine is ready to sit at a negotiating table with the terrorists that did it all on our land, this is a great compromise.
European leaders have denounced the latest Russian attack and say it makes a mockery of Moscow's claim it's seeking peace. The Kremlin confirmed the strikes but insists it targeted military and near-military infrastructure. This is Michelle Rimmer reporting for AM.
Fighter jets will be on standby and police snipers are being deployed to buildings around the Vatican as security is tightened ahead of tomorrow's funeral for Pope Francis. More than 200,000 people, including world leaders and dignitaries, are expected in St. Peter's Square to say their final farewells to the late pontiff. Europe correspondent Bridget Rollison reports from Rome.
From Cairns to the Vatican.
Are we feeling okay?
Yep.
Yep. We got this?
Yes.
Okay, andiamo!
16-year-old Jacob Major is with a group of a dozen Australian teens who made the long pilgrimage here for the Jubilee year.
It took us over 50 hours. Everything here has been absolutely amazing. So different from what we have in Cairns and just Australia in general.
Lining up to pay his respects to Pope Francis as he lay in St. Peter's Basilica, Jacob says the pontiff has been an inspiring leader for young people like him.
I like how he's a very progressive person and how he welcomes and accepts all people into the church, regardless of their social status, ethnicity, race, gender identity.
During his papacy, Pope Francis was celebrated as a pontiff for people of all ages. The 88-year-old embraced the internet and was days away from canonising the first millennial saint. Theologist Hendro Musterman says while Catholicism has been on the decline among teens in the Western world, Pope Francis helped inspire a new generation.
Catholicism is growing among young people very strongly, but not in Europe, not in Australia, not in Northern America, but in all the other parts. And all the other parts are by far the biggest part of the Roman Catholic Church. These young people saw in this Pope somebody that was fighting for them and that was fighting for the justice that they deserve.
18-year-old Stephanie is originally from Singapore. She changed her travel plans to be at the Vatican to pay tribute to the Pope. She says she felt a connection to the Catholic leader because he was the first to make a strong case for migrants and climate change.
He sent out letters to multiple places around the world that were experiencing climate change, and I'm a politics major as well, so all those issues definitely resonate with me.
Stephanie will join more than 200,000 others at the Vatican tomorrow for Pope Francis's funeral. Security is being ramped up around St. Peter's Square with more than 3,000 officers to patrol the area. David Farby is from the Italian Civil Protection Emergency Management Office. His job is to protect the more than 100 world leaders, including Prince William and US President Donald Trump, who'll be attending the service.
It's a challenge. Yes, definitely, it's a challenge.
so many authorities in a so narrow place in 24 hours.
This is Bridget Rollison in Rome, reporting for AM.
Australia's ageing population is weighing down the country's health system. The number of older Australians presenting to emergency departments is rising, and over 65s now account for almost half of all public hospital bed days nationwide. But a new approach is dramatically reducing the number of unnecessary hospital admissions for elderly patients and freeing up beds for others at the same time. National Health Equity reporter Rachel Carbonell has the story.
What's been happening with your health?
Well, I had a fall.
In the fast-paced corridors of the emergency department at St Vincent's Hospital in Melbourne, geriatrician Dr Richard Kane is taking his time to help an elderly man brought in after a fall.
Did you totally black out, did you?
Yeah.
Have you had other falls in the past?
Yeah, I had another fall, but I was conscious.
85-year-old Fernando fell on his way to catching a bus.
When I woke up, I found myself between four angels and I said, I need an ambulance.
He's just one of the older patients Dr Kane will see on this shift, part of his role leading the geriatrician in the emergency department program at the hospital. In 1 year, the scheme has diverted more than 100 patients who would otherwise have been headed for lengthy hospital stays on the ward. Instead, geriatricians use a whole-of-patient view to see if elderly patients can avoid admission. Dr Kane says those diverted from hospital receive medical care at home or aged care, or go to rehabilitation.
Once a cause is identified and dangerous causes are excluded, they can recover just as effectively in their own home. And we find that people recover more quickly in their own environment.
Hospital data shows admissions were reduced by 900 bed days with no increase in patients returning to hospital.
That means that on any given day, three or four patients' beds are available for other patients upstairs that would otherwise have been filled by these patients.
Programs like these are increasing across Australian hospitals as figures show the number of hospital beds nationally is not keeping pace with the ageing population. The Australian Medical Association's annual hospital report card shows the proportion of hospital beds for every 1,000 people aged over 65 has halved in the last 30 years. The association is calling on the incoming federal government to sign the next National Health Reform Agreement to allow hospitals to meet these challenges. Emergency medicine representative Dr Sarah Whitelaw.
We also want to make sure that that funding drives the kind of care that we want and that our elderly Australians need.
The Albanese government has endorsed an increase in federal funding but not yet brokered an agreement. The coalition says it will negotiate a new agreement as a matter of urgency.
Rachel Carbonell. In the desert battlefields of the First World War, Australian Light Horse Troopers were renowned for their hardiness, skill and bravery. They played a key role in the Battle of Beersheba, securing vital water supply and helping to break the Turkish line. It's inspired one man to ride more than 750 kilometres to share the story of the mounted infantry with schoolchildren. Emily Doak reports.
Trotting along a quiet country road, Pat Leary is dressed in a military uniform similar to that worn by the Light Horse more than 100 years ago.
Because we're dressed up in what we call ceremonial, so we're on parade.
Woolen breeches, khaki tunic and a distinctive emu-plumed slouch hat.
Left wheel, form troop line and a halt. We are representing the Australian Light Horse.
This history on horseback captures the attention of students at the Gerodgery Public School north of Albury in southern New South Wales.
The horses.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool that we got to experience having the horses and the Light Horsemen here with us today.
They were in World War One to protect this country, I think.
These horses would carry about 130 kilos.
Seeing the horses and how they survived the wars.
Yeah. They had to be a certain weight to get there faster, and then they fought on foot.
This is one of more than 100 school visits on a 750-kilometre ride over 6 weeks to honour the Light Horse.
This is not about glorifying war. This is about remembering the sacrifices that the guys made 100 years ago.
Teacher Madeline Curnow says visits like this bring lessons to life for the 14 students at the tiny school.
We often have to travel and, you know, there's costs involved or students maybe not being able to attend to excursions that are away from school. So actually having something to come to our small little school is really lovely. We really, really appreciated it. And it just gives them that validation that the work that they do in their classroom is right here on their front doorstep.
Pat followed the Chevelle Border Light Horse Trail, which links artwork, statues and monuments from Shepparton in northern Victoria through southern New South Wales to Hardin and back to Tolangata in the high country. It meant some long days in the saddle.
You've got to well and truly pace yourself, try and work out a distance between each town, but also keep ticking over the miles.
And how are you holding up this far into it?
Yeah. I've got some rub marks. The common question is, how's your bum? Well, yeah, it's been better.
He says it's worth it.
And they won't remember me, my name, but they'll remember the day the light horse came to their little school. And if they do that, it means that the history, the legacy of the light horse doesn't die.
Emily Doak reporting. And that's AM. I'm Rachel Mealy. It's 7:30 and good morning, Sally Sara.
Thank you, Rachel, and good morning. This is Radio National Breakfast. Coming up on this Anzac Day, the Minister for Veterans Affairs, Matt Keogh, and his shadow counterpart, Barnaby Joyce, will be my guests in this half hour. Let's have a look at the weather for the major centres across Australia today. For Broome, sunny and 34. Perth today, it's a bit cooler, partly cloudy and 22 degrees. Adelaide, cloudy and 25. Melbourne, some rain developing today in Melbourne, 24. Hobart, partly cloudy and 20. Albury-Wodonga, mostly sunny and 27 degrees. Canberra today, partly cloudy and 24. Wollongong, possible shower and 24. Sydney, possible shower and 25. Same for Newcastle, possible shower today in Newcastle and 25 degrees. For Brisbane, you can expect showers, 25 degrees. Townsville, beautiful day today in Townsville, and plenty of people will be out marking Anzac Day today. Sunny in Townsville and 29. For Cairns, partly cloudy and 30. Darwin, partly cloudy and 33. And if you're in Alice Springs today, you can expect a sunny Friday and 30 degrees. Well, let's update you now with what's happening in the news with Luke Sinham-Dundon. Luke, good morning again.
Morning, Sally. Crowds have gathered before dawn at sites across the country this morning to reflect on the sacrifices and bravery of the Anzacs.
Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
Veterans, their families and the public have braved all sorts of weather, as we just heard.